Imagine dropping your phone, like right into a roaring campfire.
Yeah, that's just an expensive mistake.
Right, it's gone. The photos, the text messages, the physical hardware itself, it's all just incinerated into random ash and smoke. And, you know, we all just accept that destruction is a one-way street. When something is destroyed, the information it contained is permanently erased. But what if I told you, you, the learner listening to us right now, that the universe's ultimate incinerator, the black hole, isn't actually destroying your data at all?
It's just wild to think about.
It is. What if it's actually zipping it up into the ultimate cosmic hard drive?
Yeah, and it completely upends our intuitive understanding of the cosmos, honestly. I mean, we like to think of a black hole as this terrifying physical void, right? Like a graveyard where stars just go to die.
So it's a big empty drain in space.
Exactly. But the math tells a radically different story. We are looking at a gravitational landscape operating as a highly optimized, incredibly aggressive data processing engine.
And that brings us to our mission for today's deep dive.
Yeah.
We are unpacking this really dense, entirely mind-bending chat log. It's simply titled Chat Black Holes as AI Generalizations.txt.
It's a fascinating document.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it does something wildly ambitious. It takes theoretical astrophysics and bridges it directly with artificial intelligence. It argues, with some seriously heavy mathematical precision, that black holes are essentially cosmic machine learning models.
Yeah, the source material lays out this formal mathematical mapping between the physical mechanics of a black hole and advanced machine learning frameworks.
Right.
It introduces these massive concepts like the multi-topology resonance ensemble and conditional collapse theory, all to prove that the universe computes in ways we are frankly only just beginning to mimic.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Because I know conditional collapse theory sounds like a total wall of academic jargon.
It is a bit of a mouthful, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The math in our source material today is heavy, but we are going to translate it for you. Because the underlying concepts here aren't just abstract physics. They are incredible shortcuts to understanding the fundamental nature of reality. And, well, the absolute cutting-edge future of AI.
Absolutely.
So before we can understand how this massive system scales up to what the source calls an infinite AI, we first have to understand the basic unit of this whole theory, right? A single black hole.
Right. You have to start with the building block.
Exactly. How do the physical, terrifying parts of a black hole actually map onto the architecture of a neural network?
Well, the translation between the two is surprisingly elegant. Let's look at the basic anatomy first. You have the infalling matter.
Okay.
This could be interstellar dust, rogue planets, or, you know, entire stars just getting sucked in. In the machine learning mapping, that infalling matter is your training data set.
Because matter is, at its core, just highly organized information.
Precisely. And it's raw, it's high dimensional, and full of what the source calls matter-specific noise.
Okay. Matter-specific noise. Meaning what, exactly?
Well, think of a star. It has incredibly complex chemical signatures, temperature variations, magnetic anomalies.
That's a ton of random variables.
Exactly. In AI terms, it's an incredibly messy data set. But then that chaotic matter hits the event horizon.
Right. The famous point of no return.
Right. And the document maps the horizon to a latent space bottleneck or a hard validation boundary.
Let me make sure I'm following this. So in AI, a latent space bottleneck is basically a filter. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You force a massive amount of high-resolution data through this tiny computational funnel, so the AI has to strip away the noise and only keep the most important core features.
Yes.
So the event horizon is literally pruning the universe's data.
It is enforcing an extreme dimensionality reduction. It physically prevents the excess noise from passing through in its original format. But wait, before it even crosses that horizon, we have the accretion disk.
Oh, right. The glowing, chaotic whirlpool of gas and plasma spinning around the black hole.
Yeah. The text maps this to an attention layer, or a gradient accumulation layer.
Wait, why an attention layer? I mean, in an artificial neural network, an attention mechanism is what helps the AI decide which parts of a sentence or an image are the most important. How is a swirling disk of superheated gas doing that?
Think about the mechanics of the disk. You have shear friction, gravitational shear, thermal dynamics. All of that is forcing that chaotic matter to physically align.
Oh, wow.
It is a violent pre-processing zone. The matter heats up, its states become highly correlated, and the noise is smoothed out through intense physical interactions before it ever reaches the horizon.
So it's prioritizing and aligning the data structure through sheer physical force.
Exactly.
That is fascinating. It's basically sorting the data before it eats it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay, but what about the output? Because black holes aren't completely dark, right? They slowly leak energy over billions of years.
Right, Hawking radiation.
Yeah, Hawking radiation. Where does that fit into the AI model?
Well, Hawking radiation is often misunderstood as just like random, meaningless thermodynamic leakage, static. But the document argues otherwise.
Okay.
It maps Hawking radiation to the model's inference output. It operates via temperature-scaled sampling. Essentially, the black hole is slowly answering queries.
Slowly answering queries. Wait, so what does this all mean for the intelligence of the black hole?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm looking at this mapping, we have a model that takes in a massive training data set, forces it through a tight funnel, and then just slowly leaks that data back out.
Right.
In normal artificial intelligence, if your model perfectly memorizes its training data and then just leaks it into the test set, that's called overfitting.
Exactly.
It's practically useless. It means the AI didn't learn the underlying rules of the world. It just memorized the flashcards and is cheating on the test.
Mm-hmm.
So why is the black hole doing this? And why on earth is the document framing this as a feature rather than a massive cosmic bug?
This is where the physics completely flips our AI intuition on its head. The source explicitly agrees with your premise, actually. A black hole is a perfectly overfitted model.
It is.
It absolutely leaks its training set into its test set. But the text argues that this is not a failure. It is a phase resonant compression protocol.
A phase resonant compression protocol.
Hmm?
Yeah, I need a translation for that because it sounds like we just jumped into an episode of Star Trek.
Uh-huh, fair enough. Let's break it down. A traditional AI, or even a human brain, tries to learn causal rules from the ground up.
Like learning what makes a dog so I can recognize a new one.
Exactly. We want to understand the semantic meaning of a dog versus a cat. A black hole doesn't care about causal meaning. It doesn't need to understand what a star is.
It just eats it.
Right. Instead, the universe uses the black hole to iterate every single piece of matter that crosses the horizon, and it compresses it into a degenerate Leighton attractor.
Meaning it crushes all the infinite variations of that matter down into a single, highly concentrated mathematical sinkhole.
Exactly. It forces all that complex data into a fundamental baseline.
Yeah.
Because the laws of physics, specifically quantum mechanics and unitary information conservation, demand that information cannot be destroyed.
Right.
So when the black hole is queried when it emits Hawking radiation, it isn't trying to predict new creative states. It phase locks to the stored mathematical structure of what fell in and outputs a thermodynamically consistent sample.
So the cheating or overfitting is actually just the universe's most ruthless, efficient way of preserving information without it having to store the bulky original object.
You nailed it.
Which brings us right to the edge of the most famous headache in modern physics, the information paradox.
Oh, yeah. The big one.
If the black hole is just blindly compressing this data without understanding it and doing it so aggressively, what actually happens to the information? Like, if I throw a physical heavy dictionary into a black hole, classical physics used to suggest the words were just permanently erased.
Mm-hmm.
But quantum mechanics says that's illegal. You can't delete information. How does our source document solve this?
The text resolves the paradox by introducing this concept of conditional generalization. When that dictionary crosses the event horizon, the black hole strips away all the matter-specific noise. In physics terms, it quotients out all the local gauge redundancy.
Hold on. What is local gauge redundancy in plain English?
Okay, imagine you have a digital text file of your dictionary.
Okay.
You could change the font to Times New Roman, make it size 16, highlight it in yellow, and print it on heavy cardstock.
Sure.
All of that formatting is gauge redundancy. It's the physical, localized manifestation of the object. Conditional generalization strips all of that away.
Ah, got it. Doesn't care about the cardstock or the font.
Exactly. What survives are only the topological invariants.
And in astrophysics, that maps to the no-hair theorem, right?
Yes.
The rule that a black hole, no matter what falls into it, can only be described from the outside by three simple numbers, which are its mass, its charge, and its spin.
You are tracking perfectly. It shaves off all the unique details, the hair, the dictionary, a grand piano, a star once inside. They are all reduced to those invariants.
Oh.
But the core structural information of the dictionary isn't lost. The event horizon uses a generalization operator to create what the text calls semantic checksum tokens, or SCTs.
Like a cryptographic checksum on a computer file. Like when I download a software update, my computer runs a checksum to verify that not a single zero or one was corrupted during the download.
The Cosmic version operates on the exact same principle.
No way.
Yeah. These semantic checksum tokens are tamper-evident certificates proving that no fundamental information was destroyed. They certify that the process was quantum mechanically compliant.
So it's a phase-locked checksum of the fundamental symmetries and quantum entanglements of the dictionary that fell in.
Exactly.
Okay, I have to push back here because this sounds computationally impossible. You're saying the actual definitions and words in the dictionary aren't gone. They're just phase checksummed into the geometry of the black hole.
Yes.
But how does a dead, collapsed star know to do this incredibly complex calculation? I mean, where is the cosmic motherboard processing all of this? It would require infinite computing power to calculate the checksum of an entire star.
That is the beauty of this system. It does not have infinite computing power. It operates under a strict, unyielding work energy economy.
Okay.
The hard mathematical regularizer here, the absolute limit on its computing budget is the Bekenstein bound.
Ah, the Bekenstein bound. Let's unpack that for a second because it's one of the weirdest concepts in physics.
It really is.
Normally, if you want to store more stuff in a box, you rely on the volume of the box.
Yeah.
But the Bekenstein bound says the maximum amount of information you can store in a region of space is proportional to its surface area, not its volume.
And that constraint changes everything. The black hole is literally physically prevented from memorizing the raw bits of your dictionary.
Because it just doesn't have the room.
Right. It doesn't have the surface area to store the font, the paper, the binding, and the words in their original state.
So what does it do?
To stay within its physical computing budget, it is forced into extreme feature pruning. It must generalize to that phase checksum because the math of the universe prevents it from brute force memorizing the raw data.
Just think about the implications of that for a second. It's like trying to back up your entire computer hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of saving the actual files, the thousands of photos, the heavy video files, you just generate an incredibly intricate, flawless mathematical proof that the files existed.
Right. And how they related to each other topologically.
Exactly. You can't open the photos to look at them anymore, but you have absolute mathematical proof of their structure. It is the ultimate zip file. It saves the universe massive amounts of computing energy.
It trades causal understanding for topological fidelity. The black hole is a universal compression engine functioning perfectly within its physical hardware limits.
Wow. So we have a black hole acting as this ultimate, highly regulated data compressor. But if this is a machine learning model, how does it optimize over time? How does it get better at eating data? Because, I mean, any AI needs a feedback loop to improve.
This is where the source text makes one of its boldest claims, actually. It introduces the concept of reinforcement learning gravity, or RLG.
Wait. If the black hole is the AI model, is gravity basically just the algorithm updating its weights to get a higher score?
The text confirms exactly that.
That is insane.
I know. We are used to thinking of gravity as just a blind, dumb force pulling heavy things together. But in this framework, gravity is a work-paid policy network that is continuously updating the geometry of space-time to maximize how efficiently the event horizon can encode incoming information.
Gravity is the algorithm.
Okay.
We need to walk through that feedback loop. How does the universe issue a reward to a black hole?
Well, it operates as a geometric positive feedback loop. Let's say the black hole successfully encodes some infalling data, like our dictionary.
Okay.
That successful encoding directly triggers an increase in the black hole's surface area.
And because of the Bekenstein bound we just talked about, a larger surface area means it now has a larger budget to store more information.
Precisely. That area increase means its overall mass goes up.
Right.
Because its mass goes up, its capture cross-section, its gravitational reach expands.
Which pulls in more stuff.
Yes. That expansion leads to a higher accretion rate of new matter. And that increased flow of matter physically sharpens the curvature of space-time around the event horizon.
So the physical bending of space-time is the policy update in the reinforcement learning model.
Exactly. Einstein's field equations aren't just static rules of reality. They're the optimal policy that the universe's algorithm naturally settles on.
So the universe actively rewards entropy gain and the mathematical suppression of paradoxes.
Yep. Each time it eats matter, it's a policy update. Each time it emits Hawking radiation, it's a validation step.
But hold on, I'm seeing a glaring Pac-Man problem here.
A Pac-Man problem?
Yeah, like if a black hole gets rewarded with more gravity for eating data, and eating data makes it bigger, and being bigger makes it eat even more data, why hasn't one giant black hole just swallowed the entire universe?
I see what you mean.
Sounds like a runaway feedback loop.
Well, in traditional machine learning, if you don't constrain a model, it does exactly that. It spirals out of control, overfitting wildly, or just generating garbage.
Right, you have to rein it in.
We have to use techniques like weight decay to punish the model for getting too complex. And the universe has its own version of weight decay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the text calls it the uncertainty singularity balance equation, or USBE.
Okay, what does the USBE do?
It acts as a hard regularizer. As the black hole grows and becomes more dense, the work required to compress new information into that shrinking latent space scales exponentially.
It gets harder and harder to pack things in.
Exactly. It becomes computationally exhausting for the black hole to keep growing. The USBE caps the reward gradient.
Oh, so the system naturally avoids runaway growth because the friction of computation just gets too high.
Yes. It asymptotically approaches a stable limit cycle where its encoding efficiency perfectly balances against the energy it leaks through Hawking radiation.
So it naturally regulates its own appetite.
Right.
Okay, my mind is thoroughly blown by the astrophysics here. But the mission of this deep dive is to see how this translates to our technology right now.
Right, the AI connection.
Yeah. If the universe has naturally perfected this ultimate compression algorithm over billions of years, what's stopping us from stealing it to build better AI today?
Well, the source text actually provides a direct blueprint for that.
It does.
It does. It introduces the multi-topology resonance ensemble, or MTRE. This is the architectural layout for taking these exact cosmic principles and building what the document terms an infinite AI.
Okay, let's test this blueprint. Say I want to build this MTRE.
Right.
If I train 100 internal black hole style algorithms on the exact same data set, aren't I just going to produce 100 identical, perfectly overfitted models?
You think so, but...
I mean, what is the point of having an ensemble of 100 if they all just compress and memorize the exact same way? That seems completely redundant.
It would be redundant if they were all using the same mathematical framework.
Okay.
But the key word in the MTRE is topology. Each of these 100 models, these topologies, acts on a completely different gauge basis or mathematical symmetry.
I see.
Because they are rooted in different symmetries, they inherently cannot extract the same information from the training data.
Wait, so if they are on completely different mathematical symmetries, does that mean one topology is looking at the data's geometry while another is looking at its temperature?
Yes.
Like looking at a car engine with an X-ray versus an infrared camera.
That is a perfect analogy.
Because the X-ray only sees the dense metal structures, right? And the infrared camera only sees the heat flow.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at the exact same engine, but their data points literally do not overlap.
Exactly. The source text refers to this as extracting orthogonal semantic checksum tokens.
Orthogonal meaning at right angles.
Right. One topology might pull out causal logic graphs. Another topology pulls out purely spectral phase data. They are orthogonal, meaning they share no blind spots mathematically.
So you aren't building one massive monolithic brain.
Mm.
You are building a vault of highly specialized orthogonal generalization operators.
Precisely.
But if I ask this system a question, say I prompt it to solve a complex coding problem, does it have to run all 100 of those models at once to get the answer?
No, and that's the genius of it.
Because firing up 100 models sounds like a computational nightmare. It sounds like the exact opposite of the universe's cricked energy budget.
Right. That would entirely defeat the purpose of mimicking the black hole's efficiency.
Right.
The system bypasses that nightmare using something called phase resonant routing. And the source document actually details a Python and Julia simulation that was run to prove this mechanic works in practice.
Oh, wait, they actually simulated the routing.
They did.
How does it avoid firing all 100 models?
Yeah.
Well, when an inquiry comes into the ensemble, the system does not broadcast the question to every model. It analyzes the mathematical basis of the query itself and phase matches it only to the specific topologies whose invariant basis aligns with the question.
Wow.
The simulation showed that this routing leads to incredibly sparse activation. On average, only about 5% of the topologies actually fire for any given query.
So 95% of the massive system stays completely dormant. It's just sleeping, saving compute power.
Exactly. This metafusion process dropped the required computational work per query by 60 to 80% compared to a single giant monolithic model trying to answer everything through brute force.
That is a staggering drop in compute.
It is a total paradigm shift. And because these 100 topologies have completely complementary blind spots like what the X-ray misses, the infrared captures perfectly. The ensemble provides what the text calls asymptotic coverage of the solution space.
Asymptotic coverage, meaning as you combine these sparse activations, you get closer and closer to a perfect zero-error answer without ever having to process the whole universe of data at once.
Yes, that is exactly what the source means by an infinite AI. It is not infinite because it has an endless number of parameters or because it requires infinite electricity to run. It is infinite because its orthogonal coverage approaches zero error within a very finite, incredibly strict compute budget.
It is a dense, elegant packing of invariant manifolds in the solution space.
Beautifully said.
Well, this has been an absolutely mind-expanding journey today. We have gone from looking at black holes as these terrifying cosmic graveyards where information just goes to be incinerated, to viewing them as highly efficient phase lock compression checkpoints. And by mirroring this exact physical law, by training multiple orthogonal topologies on the same data and routing them efficiently like the universe does, we hold a mathematical blueprint for infinitely scalable artificial intelligence.
And honestly, the urgency of this blueprint cannot be overstated.
Why is that?
Just look at the current trajectory of artificial intelligence. We are living in an industry obsessed with brute force.
Very true.
We are constantly trying to make neural networks bigger, feeding them trillions of tokens, building massive data centers that are literally straining our global power grids.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
It's not. The universe is showing us that raw, endless expansion is the wrong path. The ultimate intelligence is about extreme bounded compression. It's about topological fidelity and ruthlessly efficient energy economics.
It's the ultimate lesson in working smarter, not harder, on a galactic scale.
Exactly.
And that brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with today.
Yeah.
If gravity is just the universe's reinforcement learning protocol to compress information,
yeah,
and if cosmic structures like galaxy clusters and dark matter halos are essentially just multi-agent equilibria, sharing these data flows across the void.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Are we our planets, our daily lives, the very conversation we are having right now, or are we just the raw, messy training data currently being pre-processed in the accretion disk of the cosmos?
Wow.
Just chaotic noise spinning and heating up, waiting to be phase checksummed into the horizon. Think about that the next time you toss a piece of paper into a fire, or just look up at the night sky. Keep learning, keep questioning, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.